it's like one of the very few schools in the city that's working. So people need to pay attention right now what our schools are doing. They're also planning on putting AI in our public schools, which we all have to fight.
Not good.
Yeah, they also, I looked it up, and they've spent at least $12 million on Chromebooks, and those are destroying our children's education. There's a lot of research about that. So we need to be getting on our school boards so that our children have a decent education. That is the key. That's the key.
Yeah.
Thank you, Crystal.
Funnel public money into schools and not into Tom Dundon's pet projects.
This is a brave statement from Genius Box. The children are our future, not subprime auto loan.
Subprime auto loan tycoons.
All right, we gotta go. We're happy to have you have been with us this morning. We got Veterans Voice next. I'm Althea.
I'm Reed.
Thank you to Ray on the ones and twos. We'll see you next week.
And the threes and fours.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:01 a.m. Next up is a Veteran's Voice.
Sang for a name on a January day. Shot down in Minneapolis, federal agents wouldn't say. Why a woman in her Honda had to die that way. We lit our candles, raised our voices to the winter air. Said not one more. Not one more. Saturday morning came around. Alex Pretty fell without a sound. You saved lives in the ICU. Knew how to heal. Now it's gone and they won't let see what's real. Phone in one hand, filming what was going down. Reached out to help a woman they'd shoved to the ground. They pepper sprayed her, threw into the street. Shot him while he was pinned beneath their feet. Yeah. once divided, we will fall across this land. We're neighbors, we're brothers, somebody's daughter, somebody's son. About one more means all of us are none. We're stronger together, standing as one. Not one more, never one more. This time we mean it, hear us say, we're standing together.
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM Corvallis, 91.9 FM in Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty is engineering, and we're going to have a guest today, Eddie Zelblinski, which I always say your last name wrong, but I want to say hello to some friends. I want to say hello to Gary and Darla in Nebraska, Kathy out in Aloha, Mitty and her grandchildren, and my good buddy Jim in Gresham. Thanks to you KBOO listeners, this is the start of our 35th year here on Veterans Voice on KBOO. And I want to thank all of you who've been listening to us all these years. And I wish that there hadn't have been so many wars that we wouldn't have been on that long. But, you know, they keep doing us in wars and all this. So, again, I really want to thank everybody for helping us out to keep our radio station going and to listen to this show and all the other great shows on KBOO. If you want to make a donation to KBOO, you can do what I do. I send a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. And that's the easiest for me because, as you know, I have this love-hate relationship going with my computer and my printer, so I really have a don't like it sometimes. The 28th of March coming up, there's another No Kings rally here in Portland, so everybody can get ready for that, because I think it's really, really important that we show a solidarity for all of our brothers and sisters in this country that are standing up just like Portland is. Also on March 8th, down at the ice building on the waterfront, there's going to be some folks down. I don't know what time it is, though. Down at the waterfront at Southeast Macadam is going to be a group of people down protesting ICE with songs. It should be pretty good. And we need to really keep the pressure on ICE. You know, we're very lucky that we've got an extension of ICE not being able to use their tear gas on us or their pepper balls on us so we're lucky on that. But there's people down there 24 hours a day down there keeping an eye on what's going on down there. And Friday nights and Saturday nights, there seems to be more people come down and let them know that we don't appreciate what they're doing to our friends and their families and what they're doing to this country. I got arrested down there on, let's see, when was it? January 24th for protesting. And my first court date will be February 26th, coming up in 6 days. I've got a lawyer now, the same lawyers that helped me when I got in trouble of protesting down at Navy ships were here. So it's the same group that's going to help me. The lawyers are going to help me get on this one. But, you know, what happened to me and some folks down there is nothing really compared to what's happening to our sisters and brothers in Minneapolis. Like, I think it was last month or so, we had Riley on, and she talked about what was going on there. And I text her off and on, you know, to kind of keep up what's going on there. And, you know, this government's just running amok back there, and they're going to try and do it everywhere. And we got to put up a good front against these people, because they get a lot of money to beat on us. And I want to introduce our guest, is Eddie. Say your last name, Eddie.
Zawoski.
Yeah, Zawoski. I always say that. I've known Eddie at least 35 years, and I knew his late wife, Gail, too. And but Eddie's going to talk about a couple of different things that I think is really, really interesting. And you want to start with, what do you want to start with, Eddie?
I want to start with this, what I call a vaccine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, Marvin was talking about, you know, how, you know, we're still getting pepper sprayed and all that by these goons who are out there at the working for ICE. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's totally amazing about that is that those people who are doing that, they think they're on a holy mission, right? They are working for, I don't know, some kind of mythical mythical problem. Anyway, so the project that I want to work on with people is to help them and us to resist fascist propaganda, because we have to admit right now that it's not fascism on the way. It's not proto-fascism. It's not, oh, maybe this can happen someday. It's here now.
Yes, it is.
And it can't be here unless it has an army of people who are willing to serve the fascist cause. And where that army comes from is it comes from people who listen to and absorb fascist propaganda, and they come to believe it. They come to believe that we're not protesting. We are somehow the ones out there destroying things, when in fact, it's the fascist leaders who are out there destroying things. So, but those guys, you know, Donald Trump and all those people at the top, they can't do it. They can't do anything unless they have people on the ground willing to carry out their orders. And these are the people that I want to speak to. These are the people who, and not just them, but the rest of us who get subjected to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, when Alex Purdy or Renee Good got shot, they immediately come out with an alternate version of how this happened. And the really sad thing is that there's a lot of us who are against this, who without this, we stop and listen, and then we have to look at it over and over again. And what are we doing? We're questioning ourselves.
Right.
Did we see this right? And as soon as we start questioning ourselves, that's their opening. That's when they get in and they say, oh, no, you're right. You should question yourself, because it is actually this. And then they keep going and they keep going. That's one of the central tenets of fascism, is the big lie. And unfortunately, these people have lots of them, lots of big lies, right? Right now, the FBI is trying to cook up some lies about Alex Purdy and Renee Good, because they don't, you know, that's why they're not given any evidence,
right?
Because
right.
they're cooking the evidence right now. So what I want to do is I want to introduce this program that I have to protect us and hopefully treat those guys when this is all done, because it will be done at some point, right? And, you know, we're here resisting because we know that this will not stand.
Right.
Right? And so we have to be ready. We have to be ready for today, and we have to be ready for tomorrow. And so the number one thing is everybody needs to think clearly. You can't, when you listen to fascist propaganda, what they do is they're putting a brain fog on you,
mm-hmm.
right? They give you all of these weird things that they talk about and blah, 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 and so on. And you don't know what's up or down when you listen to them. So the real important thing is to learn to think clearly. So I have a little program for basically trying to teach people that your best defense is to always think clearly and scientifically. And what that means is belief is not a part of this. We are only dealing with the scientific method, which is observation and experimentation, right? So if they start pushing some explanation that is not that type of argument, it's not, well, this is what happened, and this is how it played out, and this is how it's played out in various other scenarios, then we have an idea of what's going on. It's not 100%, it's not complete, but we pretty much know what's going on.
Mm.
If it's not that kind of reasoning, scientific reasoning, then it's something else. And it's the kind of reasoning that is subject to emotion, to feelings. And that's what they do. They manipulate your feelings, and they do it in very specific ways. And so what I, one of the things I want to do is to just to tell people that there's three ways to, that they do that. One way is they use reasoning by virtue of authority. Okay? When they start talking about something, the first thing that they talk about is, well, what does the authority say about this? Because if the authority says it, then it's true. You have to believe that they're the people at the top. They know. And this is where this is the great power of fascism, that the people at the top set the tone for everything.
So you're talking about right with us right now in this country, we're talking about Trump, right?
Yes.
And Miller, Stephen Miller.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So what do they say?
Yeah. So So
Kristi Noem, for example.
Yeah, go ahead.
Will come to the ICE demonstration here in Portland.
Which
she
did.
She'll stand up on the roof and she'll point down to the crowd and she'll see there's a guy in a chicken suit down there. And she says to everybody, and especially to those right-wing podcasters,
mm-hmm.
what that guy is doing is violent. He is insulting me. That's disrespect to the federal government. This is an appeal to authority, right? And they use that appeal to authority all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
I know the guy in the chicken suit, his name's Jack, and he's really a good guy.
Right. And there is the scientific example. You have observed this guy,
mm-hmm.
and you've been around him, so you know who he is.
Right.
But those other people who are looking at podcasts, who are looking at news reports, they hear what Kristi Noem has to say, and because they believe in authority, they say, well, no, he's not a nice guy. He wants to hurt Kristi Noem.
So do you think that when you were talking about the authority, it's just not one person, right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's not just one person. In a fascist system, yes, it's not one person. Because in a fascist system, yeah, there is a guy at the top.
Right.
But he is able to extend his authority down through the hierarchy, and then carry out his orders.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eddie. It makes sense. Go ahead.
And then, okay, so that's one way, is the method of authority. Another form of reasoning that they use is it's authority and, well, okay.
Example. That's an easy way to do an example.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. No problem.
Because
I do it all the time.
Yeah, this. Anyway, okay, so. So then another method that they use is a method where they play into your previous beliefs, right? This is the method, what I call the method of tenacity, right? They figure out what is it that you believe in? What is it that you believe in categorically, 100%?
Mm-hmm.
And what the fascists do is they say, well, we are that. We are what you believe in. This is how we get Christian fascism. Because what the fascists do is they say, oh, yeah, Yeah, yeah. You believe in God, so do I. And so do I. And I am, I have a role in this. I have a role in your belief system, and therefore you should believe everything that I say. So, you know, so, and again, as I said before, you know, the fascists can't do their job without people behind them. So you have all these now, what do you call them, evangelical Christian pastors who are out there talking politics.
Mm-hmm.
And why are they doing that? So that people will believe what the fascists are telling them. And so let's say, for instance, you're a Christian and you go out and you see what's happening and you go out to a demonstration. Well, I'm sorry, but there can be a Christian explanation for this that's not real good for the rest of us. And we've seen how that plays out. And so that's when you listen to the fascists, when you hear them invoke religion, you have to tell yourself there's something wrong with what they're saying. And but believe me, that it's very important. It's very important for you just to have that idea that, okay, if it's coming from the mouth of my pastor, no, this isn't right. This isn't right. And it, you know, my pastor shouldn't be talking about this. And but the fascists want to tell you, no, yes, your pastor is right to talk about this. And so they promote that. And then, and then, but, you know, basically what they're tapping into is they're tapping into your beliefs about yourself. Who am I? If you're a Christian, they've got you trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're a Christian, you have to understand that when they talk about this, they're manipulating you. They're gaslighting you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the third method that they use, the most common method, and this is the one that really gets to me about the fascists, is they use what I call the a priori method. The a priori in Latin means at first, right? Mm. So, but what it means is this is something that most people accept and believe in, right? Or the common way of putting it is, it's common sense.
Oh, gotcha.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you'll hear this very often when Donald Trump speaks. He'll say something like, oh, but everybody says this. I hear that this is what people think about that. And you see that in all the fascist regimes. All the fascist regimes, they will always claim that I'm just the voice of the people. I know what the people think, and I'm telling you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're one of the people, well, that's a very attractive. That's very attractive to hear that. Yeah, everybody else around me believes this, so yeah, I might as well go along with it. And so now the a priori method of reasoning can be good. You know, we use it all the time. You know, like, for instance, if you want to know if it's time to get up and go board your plane, well, everybody else is doing it, so you do it, right?
Mm.
It works that way. But in politics, it's deadly.
Yeah.
It's deadly.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the program, is to simply think clearly. And the next part of the program is to do the reading. And in order to do the reading, I just put together a list of things. I also joined an organization here. Marvin, what's the name of this organization?
Veterans Fighting Fascism.
Yeah, Veterans Fighting Fascism. Okay. Yeah. And they have a book club. And I think it's a great idea. People need to educate themselves about fascism. And I'm just about to add a new book to their reading list. And it's this one that I have right in front of me. It's called The Art of the Lie. And it was written by a guy named Marcel Danesi. He's a linguist, professor of semiotics, I think. What it's about is it's about basically what it says here on the cover, how lying manipulates language to control people.
Mm.
How do they do it? And just like those methods that I mentioned, this is very important because it's loaded with examples of how they do it, how it affects you, and how you can resist.
I think the resist part's pretty important, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the most important part.
You're listening to Veterans Voice on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland. We're talking with Eddie Zielinski.
Zawoski.
Zawoski.
Or you can call me Kowalski.
Kowalski, there you go. And we're talking about fascism, which is pretty important. But I want to go back to one thing. Were you talking about the old beliefs and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Racism. The racism definitely got to fit in there somewhere. Because this country, to me, one of the top things in this country is racism. This is a racist country.
Right.
So it's got to be, you know, somehow the fascists used racism to divide us, I think.
And how they do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is with dog whistles.
Go ahead.
Danesi talks about it a lot in this book that, you know, dog whistles are just these little side comments that bring up the ideas and feelings that people have about race.
Mm.
And first of all, personally, I believe that everybody is racist.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, to some degree or another. And you're only not racist if you've worked on it, right?
Yeah.
Because we are actually born with that. There's another philosopher that I follow, Umberto Eco. Everybody's heard of him,
mm-hmm.
The guy that wrote The Name of the Rose.
Yeah.
Umberto Eco talks a lot about racism and how it's baked into society. It's baked into literature. And, you know, we can pass laws. You know, the British destroyed the slave trade in the 1820s. But it still persists.
It definitely persists.
It still persists. And it only doesn't persist when we get to use the scientific method. When we get to observe and we get to participate, when we get to live together with people of different races and different perceptions, then it goes away. But what the fascists want to do is they don't want to let us go through that process because they have another agenda. They have people that they want to get rid of.
Yeah. That's true. Right now it seems to be Hispanics a lot, trying to get rid of Hispanics. But racism, you know, this country was pretty much built on racism. It's, you know, even when you talk to, you know, I talk to these right wingers a lot just to see where to come. And it, you know, it gets me really angry with some of the stuff they say. But somewhere in that conversation, they're going to bring up racism. They're going to bring up race. Somewhere in that conversation, they're going to bring up race. I don't care if it's somebody from the south of this country or whatever, they're going to bring up race.
Right. And the big thing was that demonstration that they had in Charlottesville, where they had the racists right out there, right?
Yeah.
Holding there. And that was a giant dog whistle,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you ask them afterwards, are you guys racist? They go, no.
Yeah, I know.
No, we're not racist. We're just, we're doing something else. We're demonstrating for our own rights as white people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So actually, the best defense against racism is race mixing.
Yes, I agree with that 1,000%. I think that's really important. I've always thought, in fact, I was talking to a friend of mine out in Banks the other day about that, and I think that every high school kid should go to another country for at least one semester. I don't care where it's at, Asia, Africa, Europe, Scandinavia, wherever, South America, so that they can see that people are people. You know, people are people. And in this country, they don't think that way. A lot of people don't think that way.
And many of the people who I talk to, who are people who have gone down the rabbit hole,
mm-hmm.
and I keep in touch with these people because I keep thinking someday I'm going to get through to them, mm-hmm. right? But when I talk to those people and I ask them, have you ever been anywhere else? Have you ever been outside the United States? Have you ever lived in a neighborhood mm-hmm. with people of a different race, a different color? Now, you and I have done that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But most of those people will say,
No.
They say, why would I want to go anywhere else? I love America.
Yeah, that's right? Exactly what they say. They right. love America. Why should I go anywhere else?
But as soon as they say that, what you should see is, okay, there's blinders.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's got blinders. He can't see what you're talking about. And because he's got blinders, he's thinking along this narrow line in one direction. And that's what you got to do, is you got to get him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. You can. I even offered to buy him a plane ticket to go to Argentina, and he wouldn't take it.
Because Eddie lives in Argentina for years, so that's why, you know, Argentina he lives in. But at one time, Argentina was a fascist government. Right?
Well, Argentina has had many fascist governments.
Yeah.
I mean, well, because the Argentines worship Juan Perón.
Oh, Juan Perón, yeah.
And it's actually not even him. They worship Evita.
Yeah, Evita.
Evita.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a worship. It's a belief. They believe that Juan or Evita, they're the person who will solve all our problems. And once you start thinking that way,
yeah.
you are ripe for fascist propaganda, fascist manipulation. And so the Argentines will always say to me, well, no, we can't be fascist because we're left wing, right? you know, we're trying to do like a socialist thing here. Yeah, sometimes you are.
Sometimes.
And, but how do you do that? How do you do your socialist thing? Well, we just make a law and impose it on everybody. This is the way everybody's supposed to act and be. And,
I know. That's really hard.
That's really hard. So because totalitarianism can be either left or right.
Right. That's right? True.
Right?
That's true. Do you think that do most hardcore fascism on the right always try to get rid of, say, the Constitution of the person before them? They want to write their own Constitution to write it the way they think it should be?
That's a great question, Marvin. That's probably the best question you ever asked. because what it leads to is this, that fascism is not an ideology. It's a political program. It's a strategy. And it's a strategy to do specifically what you're talking about. It's to take a country that has a constitution. It can be a republic or a democracy, mm-hmm. doesn't matter, and to take that apart and put the country in the control of the fascist manipulators.
Such as they're trying to do in this country right now.
How many ways can we say that?
Yeah, people don't understand that they... You know, that's like with these, I keep going back to the ICE for Homeland Security. I mean, the things they've done is completely opposite of what the Constitution says, you know? They wrote out so they can go into your house without having a warrant. They can put you in a jail without giving you due process. There's so many things that they're trying to just write out of the Constitution.
Right. And so their message is due process no longer exists.
Yeah. That's what they want.
That's really the truth.
It is.
Because if you can cite enough examples of it, and I think there's news platforms out there who are keeping track. We've mm-hmm. got the numbers.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right?
I'm sure.
And it didn't take too many numbers for me to be convinced that that's what's happening.
Me too. When I saw and heard and read about when ICE was doing this thing where if they got a warrant, it's supposed to be done by a judicial judge.
Right.
But what they were doing, they were just having one of the ICE people write it out. And that's just opposite of what the Constitution says. So they're slowly but surely getting people to think that, you know, if we don't like that law, we're just going to write something different. In the, you know, just supersede the Constitution.
Right.
But it doesn't. It doesn't supersede the Constitution. That's the problem. And if people start thinking that it does, that's just fascism.
Right. And it doesn't supersede the Constitution. It ignores it.
Good one. That's true.
It ignores it. And essentially, by ignoring the Constitution, what you do is you create this wonderful a priori reasoning that says that, well, look, we ignored the Constitution here, we ignored the Constitution there. The judge said, okay, you got to obey the Constitution. But then we went back and we just kept doing the same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
So then a priori, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the only conclusion you can draw from that is, well, the Constitution doesn't matter anymore.
Right. Right. That's just like, Trump came out with all these tariffs, and he doesn't have the right to do the tariff stuff, right? But he continues to do it. And the court came out, I think it was today or yesterday, coming up and saying that the tariffs were unconstitutional, that he couldn't do that. But he's still doing it.
Right.
He's just ignoring what the courts have said.
Right.
And like you've been saying, that's one of the steps towards a fascist totalitarian government.
Not steps toward anymore.
Yeah, it is.
It's featured.
Which here, yeah.
Because it's here.
It is here.
It's here. And because it's here, what we're doing now is not just resistance. It's revolution.
Yeah, I believe you.
Because, in the past, when you and I would go out and demonstrate against the wars of the Bush wars, we were dealing with the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
We were dealing with the system that we had. We were dealing with a democracy going in the wrong direction.
Exactly.
But now that direction has been completed. And we're no longer in a democracy.
Yeah.
We might be able to take it back. But for right now, if we do, we can't go back to the old system.
No.
They've broken it so bad that what we need to do is just get rid of those guys and start something new.
Yeah, something new. Something new, something better. I read a lot of books on propaganda. And I read a lot of books on different types of governments and stuff. My degrees are in early American history and early American literature. And I can see from reading what they were saying back in the 1700s or the 1600s in this country, how different it is now than it was back then when they were writing this stuff up. And I think that over time that people just get used to what they're being told. They don't think about what's going to happen when all this is done. I really don't think people are thinking. They're more people now are worried about jobs. You know, they're worried about feeding their children. They're just worried about all these other things. And so when guys like Trump comes in there and promises all this stuff, and the only thing he's fulfilling is his racist agenda of moving Hispanics out of this country.
Right.
And that's the only thing that he's doing, He's just doing everything like Stephen Miller is telling him what to do. And American people.
Right, exactly. Because, again, fascism is not an ideology.
Right.
Right? So what Trump is doing is not ideological.
Mm-mm.
It's just, he just does what he does, and he does it to keep power. That's what fascism is all about.
Yeah,
is to put power. Those people in power. And of course, in our case right now, the fascists have picked this guy and put him on top, who is a criminal real estate dealer.
Yeah, definitely, right? A criminal.
He's a criminal real estate dealer.
Yeah.
He's been that his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, naturally, what is he going to do once he gets in power? Well, he's going to steal.
Yeah.
And he's going and you can see it today in everything that he's doing. Do you know that they're pitching a plan to put in a 5,000 U.S. troops in Gaza to protect their project to build a resort.
Yeah, I was listening to that too, and I've been reading about it too. And when they talk about what they're going to do in Gaza, very seldom do they say West Bank. You know, we can't forget our sisters and brothers in Gaza or the West Bank, because what they're I get so angry, Eddie, when I think about this, you know. And the people of Gaza, they don't care about the people in Gaza. They really don't. You know, this whole peace, whatever it is they came up with, there's not one Palestinian, I don't think, on that board. So the Palestinians aren't getting a say in what's going to happen to their country at all. They're not getting a say in it. With these guys, it's only money, Eddie. Money and power.
Yeah.
That's all Trump thinks about.
Absolutely. It's money and power.
You know, who was it that said, if you say a lie over and over and over and over again, pretty soon it becomes the truth. And that's really a problem, you know.
Okay, but one of the things you can do, I think you can do, is probably the most effective thing that people can do outside of, you know, anything else that, you know, voting or demonstrating, is boycotts.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest boycotts, I mean, you mentioned that these guys, they're all about money and power.
Oof.
Well, I would challenge anybody out here who's listening, if you have money invested in a cryptocurrency, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
If all of the people who have been supporting these cryptocurrencies suddenly woke up one morning and said, oh my God, I believe Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett says this is a scam. Mm-hmm. I'm selling out. And if you all sell out, well, you're afraid to because you think the cryptocurrency market might collapse.
Yeah.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
And that would severely diminish their power.
Yeah, especially the Trump family. The Trump family is really invested in crypto pretty heavy.
Right.
So I remember when Trump first came out, I don't think he was a supporting of crypto, but now he is. You know, he's a big believer in it. And I don't see where it has any value to me. You know what I'm saying?
No, there is no value.
Yeah.
There's no value.
No value at all. It's just what people think it is. And that's a real problem, too. When you think, you know what Americans think when they think fascism, they think of Mussolini in Spain. They think, not Spain, in Italy. Franco in Spain. Hitler, you know.
There's lots more.
Yeah, there's a lot more. And they don't. They still somewhere in their back of their minds, they still think that there's a guy on a white horse is going to come and save us.
Right.
And to the right wingers, that's Trump.
Right, right. He's their savior.
He's their savior.
Right. Just like, you know, just like Hitler was going to bring Germany back to greatness by getting rid of the Jews. Right. So Trump is going to bring America back to greatness by getting rid of all the people who aren't white.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Because down at the ICE building down there, they have where people that are here on, you know, on green cards or whatever, they're here. It's not only Hispanics, it's people from Africa too.
Oh yeah.
People from Asia, you know. And if you look back on it, the people that Trump let in pretty free was white people from South Africa.
Of course.
He let those guys in free, you know, where our everybody else has to jump through a hoop. So that's a real problem, too. We only got 5 minutes, Eddie, and we could sit here and talk for two more hours. So what do you want to say here?
I want to just say one more thing.
Go ahead.
I just want one more thing. I wanted to talk about effigies.
Yeah, go
right.
ahead.
I want everybody to be sure to get out there on March 28th to your No Kings rally. And it's not just here in Portland.
No.
It's everywhere.
Yes.
I'm going down to do the No Kings down at the coast in Lincoln County, mm-hmm. where I used to live. And so one of the things I think would be real good to do is to bring an effigy. You know, this is how our first revolution started, was with effigies, where they hung the effigy of the tax collector on the Boston Common in 1770. And that's what inspired the revolution. They had a people's trial. After 3 days of hanging that effigy, they had a people's trial. They found him guilty. They burned the effigy. And then they went and dumped the tea in Boston Harbor.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that was an inspiration, because it helped people feel like we do have some power. We can get rid of these guys. So what I want us to do is, you think of your... who's the worst criminal to you, and carry that effigy in that demonstration. What we're going to do at the coast, where I'm having it, is we're going to have a bunch of people carrying effigies, and then at the end of our time demonstrating, we'll have a people's trial. And well, we're kind of mild out there, so we're just going to throw them in the dumpster.
You're a dumpster diver.
But I can't tell anybody else what to do. But I think carry an effigy and have a people's trial.
That's a great idea.
That'll help to keep us inspired. Like, yeah. Okay, not only did we get to say our piece, but we actually did something.
Yeah.
We actually did something.
Yeah. If people have to do something, I mean, if they, you know, it doesn't, you know, what Margaret Mead said about it only takes a certain percentage of population to make a big change. I think that was Margaret Mead. Yeah. You know, she had it right. Well, we're just about done. I want to tell people thanks again for letting us be on the air for 35 years, starting our 35th year, and to please support our radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. You can send a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here in Portland, 97214, or you can go on the KBOO.FM, and you can go up to the donate button, which is very good. And we will be back on March 20th at 9 a.m. And there it is. Went too fast.
The immigration scene, shining and feeling clean. Could it be a sin? I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in, let me in, immigration man.
with his immigration face, giving me a paper chase. But the sun was coming, 'cause all the boys, he looked into my space, stamped a number over my face.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 10 a.m.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune in to KBOO on Saturday, February 21st at 4 p.m. for a special Black History Month roundtable discussion on The Motif, Reimagined, a